Wave after wave of reform of the security clearance backlog system has crashed on bureaucratic rocks. Now government agencies and companies with a need for cleared people are awaiting the launch of the new quasi-agency, the National Background Investigation Bureau. David Berto, CEO of the Professional Services Council, joins me with his predictions for the NBIB. And I guess, David, we should mention that you are a cleared person, worked in the Pentagon, and know this process from both sides.
That's right, Tom. In fact, when I first got my first clearance in 1981, we had a major security clearance backlog problem. The backlog was about 500,000, and serious efforts were underway to draw it down. 35 years later, we're in the same situation.
It's still 500,000. Hopefully not the same people, though.
I suspect the only same people are the ones who are in their periodic reinvestigations, but the new ones have been cleared by now.
So what's your sense of the NBIB? This would be something roughly under the Office of Personnel Management, and it would replace the contractor that did it for so many years, and it would be a government-wide service. Does it look like they're setting up something robust enough to really to do this big job?
We had Charlie Phelan, the new head of the National Background Investigation Bureau, spoke with us back in November, just a couple of weeks before the NBIB went operational on December 1st. And they've certainly got a plan that addresses some of the key issues, and it is a new approach. By putting the Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA, in charge of the data side of it, you have the potential at least to address one of the major problems, which is the security of the data. And obviously the OPM breaches that we had a couple of years ago still loom large over this entire process. The idea that by better data and better technology you can eat into the backlog is not yet demonstrated, but the potential is certainly there. But there's a couple other issues that the NBIB really won't get at, and I'll just mention them and we can explore them more as you see fit. But one is that just to get the backlog down is going to take more than a new database. It's going to take an infusion of resources, people and money, or you won't be able to get the backlog down. And that has to happen soon or else you won't eat into it. The backlog's actually gone up. The latest data we have is from early September because the government's not actually releasing data on this very rapidly. But it had gone up 100,000 just in the 7 months prior to September the 1st. And that's a 25% increase at the same time as we're trying to bring it down. That does not bode well. The other is the long-term value of process improvement to bring technology, digital analysis, less reliance on door-to-door interviews and more reliance on the data that's publicly available and privately available on everybody who's gone through the clearance process. So you need both long-term process change and a near-term infusion of resources. And this is really hurting the companies.
Yeah, that door-to-door process, they ask you, I mean, it happened to me just the other evening about a neighbor. I've had a few of these interviews over the years. Sometimes it's been someone working for the agency. Most often it's a contractor, maybe a retired FBI agent, that type of person. And the questions they ask you, even people that live next door 10 or 20 years, you can't possibly answer them. Questions like, well, do you know them to misuse federal secret data in some manner or misappropriate federal data systems? How the heck would I know what they do when they're at work or in the privacy of their own home? It's almost theatrical, but I wonder how much data they really get about people that way.
Well, there's a long history of who we catch and who we don't catch, but there's also a recent history of much better use of data and the data that are available in order to speed up that processing time and really focus those door-to-door assets on the most critical and most vulnerable ones rather than on every single person that goes through the process. But that's going to take a while. And in the meantime, I mean, we have member companies, Tom, that have 200 or 300 funded jobs that are open on work that has to be done. It's important to the government for the mission, and they can't get the cleared people to fill these positions and to do the mission important work.
We're speaking with David Berto, CEO of the Professional Services Council. Do you think there's a clue for this new type of process in the checks that are done by the big data and credit reference services? You can go in and get approved for a car loan sitting there in the cubicle of the salesman. There is so much data available online.
That would be a good place to incorporate into this. And there's some of that is done now. It's just not done in the kind of priority order and with the kind of speed focus necessary. You know, in addition to the backlog, NBIB has a target, a goal of how fast they can process a request, both for the initial secret or confidential background investigation and then for the top secret, which is obviously a more thorough investigation. Their goal is to do the fastest 90% in 40 days or less. The latest data we've seen, they're taking 105 days, so that's almost three times as long. The goal for the top secret is 80 days or less, and they're taking 214 days. So again, it's almost three times as long. We've got a long way to go, and in the meantime, there's a lot of work that's not being done. And by the way, this backlog includes government employees as well as contractor employees. So the entire workforce is caught in the net.
What about this idea of continuously reevaluating people once they are cleared? Because if you proceed from the theory that most people applying for a job to get clearance are well-intentioned, and so the danger is if that well-intention changes somewhere along the line and they turn, how would you know that? Well, right now, the re-upping process uses the same tools they do to do the initial clearance. And so what about that continuous idea? Do you see any promising technologies or techniques there?
All the studies that have looked at this have recommended that for two reasons. Number one is you would actually catch evolving potential problems during the process. For instance, Alexis Allen, the shooter at the Navy Yard a few years ago, had you been monitoring him on a regular basis, just with routine updates from publicly available data that's out there, you would have seen that there were problems popping up there, and he would have popped up on a list that says, pay closer attention to this guy. The other thing it does is it allows you to spread your resources out so that you're focused. You can focus on the most immediate problems that you have, and you don't have to just have it be calendar-driven. You can be driven by an ongoing process. So there's two big advantages there. We'd love to see that implemented on a wider scale.
And you mentioned earlier resources. You know, the old joke in computing is that if you want it better, faster, cheaper, pick any two of the above, and that's what can be delivered. And so,
well, that's true, but there's a couple of things that happened recently. One is that the Office of Personnel Management began to charge at the time the request was submitted instead of at the time that the background investigation was completed and the adjudication process completed and the clearance was ready to be issued. This led to a shortfall in funding, and that shortfall has not been made up. Now, one of the problems with the continuing resolution on the Hill that the Congress has given the federal government is that the money to increase to fill this gap was put in the FY17 president's budget, but it was not appropriated, and it has not been included in the continuing resolution because, obviously, it wasn't in last year's budget. And so we haven't fixed that problem yet. Your guess is as good as mine, but if we get another continuing resolution for the remaining 5 months of this fiscal year, that problem won't be fixed for months now.
And, of course, there is the talk of expansion of military size in terms of billets, and also there might be a lot of changes happening in the intelligence community given the news that we've all been following for the past couple of weeks. And so that mitigates in favor of even more people needing clearance in a short period of time.
You raise a good point. I mean, I have focused by looking at the backlog and by looking at the NBIB process. That's on the side of supply. How do you get clearances through the system and supply them to the using activities? But if the demand goes up, that's going to only make it harder. And I think not only could the demand go up from increased numbers, the demand could also go up because we have a more integrated approach, say, to domestic counterterrorism and homeland security. That involves a lot more state and local folks. Those have to have clearances as well. It's a slightly different clearance, but the background investigations still need to be done. And so the demand could clearly increase. I think that only makes it more important to both put adequate resources in the near term and to come up with the process improvements for the longer term.
David Berto is CEO of the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tom. And hopefully next time I come on, this won't be a problem anymore, but I'm not holding my breath.
All right. Find a link to this interview and more coverage of the NBIB at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.